Welcome to episode 189 of The Numbers Game. I'm Jace. I'm here with Nick and Marty. How are we, fellas?
Going well, Jace. I was at a fantastic Deb, my niece's Deb, on Friday night, and it was great to see the Yarra Valley in one venue. There was no drinking at the venue at all because it was a school function. Now, previous years there was, and what I didn't realise when there was drinking, actually Barneys were breaking out and people were having fights and everything. Amazing. Like, I'm going, just the spirit of the Yarra Valley in one room and a bit of alcohol. So everything was very, very nice, plain and simple, and no fighting. So I was disappointed. I was looking for some action. But I had a great night. My niece looked beautiful, and her partner, Dylan. It was, it's lovely to see the young kids grab some confidence and do some dances. They did really, really well. So had a good night. Jace, how are you? Oh, Nick. Nick, how are you? I've jumped to Jace.
Caught me by surprise. Nick, you go. Tell us about your golf.
the story I just told? Or
No, how was golf?
Oh, well, apart from the story I just told, it was just another day. Golf was quite cold in the morning, got a bit warmer. But it was a great game. I'll just leave it at that. I feel very lucky to be able to play the game. And
lucky.
You know, it's, just feeling lucky today.
Have you found your honey?
No. Well, it's a difficult question. Put it this way, I know who's got it.
That's good. If people weren't listening to previous episodes, Nick brought some very exclusive honey into the office and
inclusive,
it all went missing.
And exclusive. I love it.
Yeah, we have to be inclusive these days.
That's right. It's inclusive honey as well as exclusive, and it all went AWOL. So we're trying to put the pieces together. So all good. Jace, how are you?
Mate, I'm good. To be honest, there's so much happening right now. I don't know. I've got nothing of value to add apart from, here we are sitting on 189 episodes. I usually go real early on the countdown towards one of our milestones, but just want to say how lucky we are to be able to get together, put 189 eps out to the world, still have amazing people coming back and listening to us, week in, week out, often twice a week. And people like, Luke Mace that came on a few weeks ago, if you haven't listened to the Luke Mace episode, this is your opportunity to go back and, dive through some of the archives because there is gold in there. I missed a few episodes where Tommy, our producer, came on, and listening to them as an outsider or, from someone who wasn't on the show, incredible value. I'm going to say lucky again, but love being on the show with you guys to talk about things like this. So ep 189, we're on the road to 200. Thank you to everyone who listens and tunes in. We do want to keep growing those. So this is also my shout out to you before we dive into the episode to say, tell your friends, tell your family, share a link, tell people to get amongst it because we're not done at 189. We're going to be here 200 and beyond, but keep us growing. Speaking of growing, there is growth in house prices all over the country, Nick, except maybe one place. What's happening?
Well, there is growth everywhere, including our battered state of Victoria, battered by one individual and, who has recently been rewarded for that. Jace, did you see that?
Again, I just don't know how angry I can get and keep it under control, but that has gobsmacked me that we can honour someone who left our state in such a shambles and give them the top honour at King's birthday honours. Our non-friend Dan Andrews, who has now left. Well, I mean, from my side, I mean, he's made accounting and state taxes one of the most complicated things that we've got in Victoria when it comes to the amount of different taxes. People now come to me and go, is this tax deductible? Is land tax deductible? Do I have to really pay this much? It's gone double what it was last year. And then there's developer tax and payroll tax and every other tax. And then there's stamp duty when you buy a property and something when you sell a property. And I won't go into it. But there was actually a video that did the rounds on Instagram and Facebook. And it's that Jimmy Rees comedian. Yes. And he's talking to Jason, who's his alter ego. And it's this couple of minute video where he talks about taxes and it's done in a tongue in cheek way. But the fact that the video goes for over 2 minutes while he reels through all the different taxes that we get hit with, it kind of hits home just how much we get kind of screwed, to be honest. But anyway, if you haven't seen that, look up Jimmy Rees and look at his tax video. It's quite funny.
It's pretty sad. And look, I'll first thing I'll say is I'm here to give our state a little bit of a little bit of promotion. It in no way is it got anything to do with the government. I'm just talking about the state in general. Mm-hmm. But before I talk about that, I think of one of the key rules of investing, and you know this is one of Marty Vidakovic's favorite rules, being a big Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger fan. But one of the key rules is, or one of the key phrases that you'll hear is, when it comes to investing, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. So Marty, what does that mean when I say that? What does that mean to you?
To me, immediately, you're looking at, you're sort of going against the norm in regards to when, you know, share prices are high, they might be coming down and, you know, the super investors aren't buying. When they're low and discounted and everyone's scared stiff and 50% at discount to what the actual performance of the business is, that's when they go in and buy. And that's the same with property as well. You know, don't buy the rage of excitement when property prices are expanding so quickly and get FOMO. You come in when prices are good and cheap in comparison to what the rest of the market might be doing. So that's, to me, you know, buy the fear, sell the greed.
Great answer. And I guess where I'm going with all this is it time that we start thinking about investing in Victoria? Or is that time around the corner? Now, it's no secret that Victoria's being absolutely battered in recent times as far as property goes. Victoria has more than 16 property taxes in place at the moment in comparison to most other states sitting in around 3 property taxes. So the big issue in this state at the moment is land tax. Obviously, everyone's got property insurance that's gone up. Everyone nationally has got interest rates that have gone up. Everyone's got rental reforms, although not as many as Victoria. Everyone's got land taxes, or not everyone, but they haven't gone up to the same rate that Victoria's has. And that is what's causing major issues at the moment for most landlords. There was an article in the AFR that I read this morning, said one landlord said, you know, I don't have 4 assets, I have 4 debts. I'm fed up, I'm selling them all. So it's had a massive impact on growth in this state. And I think we're now at this point in time where we can look at all of the things that the government brought in, when I say things, taxes and the rental reforms, and go, you know what, it actually had a significant impact. And you've only got to look at the growth rates. Last 4 years, Sydney's grown by 24%, Brisbane by 39%, Adelaide 40%, Perth 37%, and then you've got Melbourne in the last 4 years, which has grown by just a measly 12%. We are the only state that hasn't grown beyond inflation. So if you own a property in Melbourne, you're actually going backwards. That's what that means. Hence the gentleman in the AFR this morning saying, I have 4 debts, not 4 assets. So what are you thinking, Marty? I can tell you're thinking deeply.
I'm just thinking, you said 16 different taxes in Victoria compared to 3 elsewhere?
Yeah, and a lot of that would be obviously taxes on individuals, taxes on developers as well.
Yep.
Windfall gains, absentee owner surcharge, vacant residential land tax, and then even the land tax rate in Victoria is down to $50,000 in value or higher, whereas I was talking to some people who made the decision to invest in Queensland, and that value there is land of $600,000 or more per property.
Significant difference.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking immediately is, people say time in the market, but yes, that's definitely the case, but sometimes it's timing the market. And again, if you want to be a little bit more specific, you've got to look at different cycles, because I think it's actually not a bad time to buy a home in Victoria over the next 6 to 7 months, because I guarantee when rates come down and you get a few more restrictions lifted around property, then we've got huge undersupply, high migration, and we'll kick, just as, you know, the cycles always demonstrate that they will. And you've got to take it into context. Like, you look at WA, I remember back in 2003, Victorian property market was going really well from 2001 to 2004. And sort of no one was really looking at Perth at that time, but they virtually tripled their average price home from, I think it was around about 146 to around 473 between 2003 and 2008. And I think Perth has gone on another surge just recently, because there was, it's not a bad place to buy and it's coming off a lower rate. But Sydney did nothing for 9 years, went up 1% in 9 years during the 2010s to 2020. So again, you do have to try and work out where is the opportunity in the market and do get advice around it. And I think Melbourne, if you're a homeowner, definitely investors are jumping ship. One in four properties listed are investors at the moment, and rightly so, given what the hell is going on with land tax and various other things. But as a homeowner and a first home buyer, we're going to get another upward swing. Definitely. It'll happen.
Well, it has to happen. The first catalyst for that will be interest rate decreases. So that will happen without any other external factors. You know, people will be able to borrow more, and what will happen then is they will buy more for the property. And what's happened to date in recent years is that may or may not happen in places like Sydney and Brisbane, because there's been so much of a jump already. Melbourne's tipped to be the biggest city in Australia. Most people know that by the year 2034, you know.
10 years.
Yep. So that'll come really quick, you know. So the other thing that's happening, or that's not happening, is planning approvals. The government is so far behind with planning approvals that there's no quick fix here. So you're not about to see a heap of properties built in Melbourne at any given time. Even when things turn, it's going to take a long time to fix the supply issue. So if you look at where most of our supply has come from in recent times, house and land packages, Melbourne has a pretty big urban sprawl because it's quite flat. Sydney doesn't have that advantage. You look at units and apartments, you've only got to look in the city to see there's not many cranes up. Things have come right back. So even when things get better and people do start to want to invest again, the properties are not going to be there. The other issue you've got at the moment is the diminishing number of landlords. So, Marty, you said every 4 to 1 or something selling. What happens when investors sell in this market? First homeowners are buying those properties, because it's generally, I'm going to say B grade without being judgmental, but it's... It's B-grade property, not A-grade property. So that's what first homeowners can afford. So what does that then cause? The tightening of the rental market. So what are we seeing now? We're seeing rents in Melbourne start to skyrocket because there's just no supply, right? So I think at some stage you've got to look at what's happening elsewhere in the country, and you've got to start to think about getting back into Victoria. Don't read a headline around land tax and go, oh, Victoria's land taxes are way too high. Actually work out what it means for you. As someone coming in as an investor, spending $700,000 on an investment property, look at the yields, look at the land tax, and work out what that actually means for you. Don't get driven by a headline that says, oh, land tax is expensive. Mr. and Mrs. Smith had a $2 million house and were paying $20,000 in land tax. Well, that's Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They had a $2 million house that was untenanted, hypothetically. So just get a really good understanding of what those numbers mean for you. And Marty, you touched on Perth, and I just wanted to point out what is happening in Perth. So there's a lot of people that have gone to Perth purely from a yield point of view. Decent purchase prices, decent yield. Perth made a lot of sense.
Close to Bali. Quick flight back to Bali.
Close to Bali. but in my opinion, Perth is just about overcooked. And let me just rattle some suburbs off here. And this is performance over the last 12 months. Armidale in Perth over the last 12 months has gone up 44.2%. It's gone up 125% since COVID. Camillo, I don't know where these areas are, but they're still staggering numbers. 44%, up 118% since COVID. Brookdale, up 40% in the last 12 months, 120% since COVID. Now, economics tells you, and just historical stats tell you, that when things go up that much, they don't keep going up. It doesn't matter where they are or what kind of asset they are, you know, unless it's a, you know, a tech or an AI business. You know, we're seeing some of that stuff at the moment. But I look at that and I would say, at the moment, I would not go near Perth. It's done too much for me. Brisbane may be the same, but Brisbane's probably got a little bit to go. It's got far more fundamentals, underlying fundamentals than Perth. And Sydney, well, we know what's happened in Sydney. Marty, you mentioned it didn't move for some time. Now it's moved quite a lot. So I think as an investor, although I get it's very difficult, but you need to put Melbourne back on your radar. And I'm not saying you go and buy back in Melbourne tomorrow. It's going to take time. There's still some, you know, it's still sorting itself out. It may have a little bit more to go as far as not a decline, but a slow growth compared to some other states. You know, but you look at areas like Mornington Peninsula. Like, I was down there last week, and there are so many homes on the market, so many homes, and they're holiday homes that people can't afford to hold anymore because of land tax. Now, for that issue to fix itself, not only do those properties have to be sold, but you've also got to think about the other end. There has to be buyers willing to buy them. So there's still a bit of water to go under the bridge as it all sorts itself out. But when you look at Melbourne, you look at the underlying fundamentals, you look at the lack of supply that's not going to get better soon, and then you also look at the fact that interest rates are going to start to come down, rents are going up, so your yields or your cash flows are going to get better. Oxford Economics recently predicted 21% growth in Melbourne over the next 3 years based on historically what it hasn't done. So a little bit of a positive light on our state. I think it's been kicked around, and it's been kicked around for good reasons, but I also think it's taken a lot of the negativity away from some other states as well. New South Wales made changes this week as we're recording to their land tax rules, which is going to cost landlords or investors another $1.5 billion in tax over the next 4 years. So, you know, don't think that other states aren't going to try and catch up. Queensland tried to introduce something and then they pulled it. They'll try again. But don't be looking at Victoria when the herd comes back in and prices skyrocket again, which is what most people will do.
That's a fantastic point. Like, you've just stacked up some of the fundamentals. The number of homes that it was reported Melbourne needs is an additional 2 million homes. So we've got a shortage supply and you've got demand. You just told me also that Melbourne's going to be the biggest city in Australia in 10 years. What does the supply and demand issue do? It drives price increases in prices. So, I love that mindset too, that you're going, for all the people that are discounting or avoiding Victoria, going, oh, well, too many taxes, let's get out of here and go put our money somewhere else. There is no guarantee that those states aren't going to catch up and copy Victoria, because what are one thing governments love doing? It's adding more taxes. What's one thing governments don't do? They take taxes away. So, you know, there might be other states where taxes are lower or different rates at the moment, but just give it time if they, you know, they start to get more popular. And interestingly, Nick, on your Mornington Peninsula sets, I actually had that article open on my phone. You know, the listings are up 14.4% over the last 12 months in Mornington Peninsula. The median home value is down 10.5%, or $101,000 down on the median home price since the peak in March 2022. Which was $960,964. So it's down 10% since that figure in March 2022. And they're kind of stating, obviously, increased land tax bills, rising costs associated with owning a second property has meant that more of these properties are going back on the market. 80% of purchases for this real estate agent that was interviewed said that 80% of the sales over that period of the last 2 to 4 years was made up of people buying a holiday home. So now that they're only seeing 15 to 20% of purchases making up people looking for a holiday home or a second home, and they're being sold to owner occupiers that are moving down to Mornington Peninsula and snapping up a property that they want to live in, where there's going to be less taxes on that property because it's their home.
Interesting.
You got to get out of reactive phase as a like with investors. Again, it's FOMO, right? Like they think about Perth, they think about Brisbane. I got to get in before it's too late. You've kind of missed the boat, and this is what tends to happen. And then they'll buy at the high cycle. I don't think it'll go backwards so much, but again, they're not getting the expectations that they're hoping for. So it's the same with investors in Melbourne. Before you sell out, you really want to sit down and work on how you can save money on those mortgage debts if you need to. You know, at least see what you're going to be able to save before reacting. The other thing, if you are going to sell an investment property, get professional advice as to how to utilize that capital that you're going to get out of that sale effectively too. Do I put it in an offset? Do I reduce my mortgage debt and get better interest rates because I've got more equity? Do I put some in superannuation? Like, you need a plan of attack for that capital if it is something you're going to sell. But I agree with Nick. I think the next 12 months is going to be a great time to buy in Melbourne, and don't miss out just because there's bad news out there. Think about how you can utilize that to advantage.
Understand the numbers. And Marty, I love what you said there, because this is the other thing I was going to bring up. I think as an investor, you need to hold. You need to hold for at least the next 2 or 3 years. You need to make sure that you're not selling at the moment if you don't have to. Obviously, if you've got other drivers that mean you need to sell, such as retirement, you need money for to go into your super, or you just simply actually can't afford it. But I think there'd be a lot of investors out there that probably could afford it, but are throwing their hands in the air and saying, "Oh, Victoria's stuff, so I'm out." But if you're selling now, it's the worst time to sell. If you can wait another 2 to 3 years, if you look at the Oxford study, you might get another 20%. Now, if that's a 700 grand property, 20% of that is how much, Jace? 140 grand. Now, I've just done the numbers, right? I've done the numbers on the land tax, and Jace, I hope I've done this right.
Hit me.
A $700,000 property in Melbourne gets you 0.4% in land tax. So about $2,850 a year is what you'd pay in land tax. Sound about right?
Starts at 0.2, so yeah, 0.4 on that range, yep.
Yep, so 700,000 will get you an investment property in Melbourne. Now, if you borrow 700 to buy for 700, hypothetically, we get 0.5% in interest rate drops next year, which we're pretty confident that we will. That saves you 3,500, so that gets rid of the land tax. Hypothetically, your rental income goes up $55 a week. I've got a property in Melbourne's north that the agent actually suggested to me that we put the rent up $100 a week. This was in the last month. Now, where we landed was $60 a week. So that's another $3,500 a year in our pocket. That gets rid of that $2,850 in land tax. So it's just understanding the numbers. And if you look at the cycle that Melbourne's in now, if you can afford to hold for the next 3 to 5 years, I think you're going to do yourself a massive favor. Remember, interest rate reductions, as much as you know they're taking time, they are going to come. Rent is going up. Make sure you're talking to your agent about market rent and what should it be. Understand when your property lease is due to be re-signed by the tenant, and make sure you're challenging your agent on, you know, what the rental is and is there any way to increase it. I think a lot of agents or property management groups are quite lazy. I've got a very good one myself, and when the lease is up, they come to me with a market analysis, what the median rent is in the area, what the vacancy rates are, and a suggestion as to what we should put our rent up to. So understand your numbers, and you know, don't get caught up with this whole land tax thing. It's 0.04% of the property value. If we get another 21% in the next 3 years and you're a landlord and you're selling because of that, but you can afford to hold it, that is completely the wrong decision.
Yeah. One of our clients, I was on the phone to him, mutual client between both of us. He sold his property a couple of years ago for around 700,000. He was advised if he could hold on to it, to hold on to that property. And he just looked it up and it had just sold recently for $1 million 2 to 2.5 years after he sold it.
Yep.
So, again, circumstances are circumstances. The decision was made. I'm sure he's probably not at peace with it. And if he's listening and knows who he is, thank you for sharing that story with me, because it's given me a nugget of gold to share here. But again, in a short period of time, 700,000 to 1 million. Again, that's ridiculous growth. But vacancy rates are about 1% Australia-wide. So, you know, you've got hot demand for a property. If you can get into the game and get it, even if it's not just for your own property, for you to live in as a main residence, but if you are at a point where you've been contemplating, is now the time to buy an investment property? Well, when you've got hot demand for people who need homes to live in and the rental market is strong, I think you could pretty much read between the lines of what us guys at the Numbers Game are putting down for you to pick up on. So, Nico, thank you for sharing, mate. That's been an absolute banger. I myself have been guilty of kind of throwing a bit of shade at Victoria or Melbourne because of the negativity around taxes. You know what I do as a job. So I spend my life getting deep into tax realm, and I never stop to flip the other way around. A lot of my clients are talking about getting out of Victoria and going to state. So you've given me some great talking points to get them to reset, relax, listen to this episode of what you've just talked us through here, and to make, you know, some more informed decisions. So appreciate you sharing, Nick. And until next time.
Time in the market and timing the market here at the Numbers Game. Game over.
This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The conversations are of a general nature and do not qualify as financial or tax advice. We recommend before you make any financial decisions, you consult a licensed professional. Individuals on the podcast may hold positions in the companies discussed.